rain poured the after my lake, and I was looking much good, just looking back at that. I wasn't even sure it must have seen anybody in there. Oh, there's one source of rain poured for me. Well, there is some my father told me, in many ways he was never had any education in his life. And he was an immigrant then, and what he learned reading well, he was always entirely by himself. And he was a natural, he was a very fine and beautiful poet. And I had technique and I had fine polish, and I knew much more about the people, because he didn't like it. He told me a poet was not just a poet, that you will not talk to yourself until a part of life and a part of people around you. And then it doesn't matter if your words are rather true and your technique is bad and you say things clumsy or sincerity. I mean, poetry is not just a talent. I mean, you have to be a part of people, a part of life. And something happened, I don't even want to have it. Things happen to people. And maybe I got detached and I had to take my own hold on purpose, but I didn't have half the sincerity of his feeling. I mean, he's a much better poet than I was. And I do not show most of my poetry because it's a personal, subjective type of anguish. Extremely modern course for a personal cry for rooms when you're living along in private rooms. I wrote a good 30 with poems. I got very mad. This was back in the Caracalla, where I was when I was deporting all these people. My own father, he'd been a communist all his life, and FDR were bothering him, and people I know him now, people I admire and respect, they were being bothered, they were being deported, they were being hounded. And I felt, you know, they were called un-Americans, they were immigrants, and I felt terrible about this, you know. I felt very pissed about them. So anyway, I wrote this poem, see, I mean, I'll read it and all that. But I never talk to people before. I'm scared. But anyway, I wish my sister were here. She does these things so beautifully. See, I mean, if she isn't here, she couldn't come. So I'll do what I can. So, anyway, well, this poem is it. They call me alien. They call me alien, un-American. I who came here with a dream and a vision. I who have built America with these immigrant hands. I am the giant that walked this earth from ocean to ocean in 40 league boots. Wherever you go, you can see my tracks. I have built America to the tune of 1,000 assembly lines, the throbbing music of the locomotive, the crane, the tractor, the steam drill, John Henry's 40-pound hammer. I have built America with hope and seeing, poverty and sorrow. I have built America with blood and sweat, that dripped to the good American earth and weathered with it. Show me the brick these hands have not touched, the steel rail they have not laid, and the tall skyscrapers haunting the smoke-crossed skylines. Buffalo, Chicago, Pittsburgh, Frisco, these are my monuments. They call me alien, un-American. My sons have carried the rifles in America's battles. My sons are buried at Casino, Vestagen, Guadalcanal, Buna. My sons are sleeping in faraway places with lonesome names. Old tyrant, who are you to steal my voice? Where will you deport me? I who am America's history and its future. I who am America's blood, nerve, sinews. I who am America's living heart. Can you deport a Sunday afternoon, a Dakota wheat field, the song in a mockingbird's throat, the nighttime whistle of a continental train? Are you going to deport 1776, the blood on the snow at Valley Forge, and giant Lincoln's Gettysburg Address? To the stranger in my house I will say, America is a matter of the heart. America, the shining grail dream that man has followed since he first walked on earth and looked at the stars. All those who have died under the pogrom in a knout, all those who have fallen on 1,000 anonymous picket lines, these are the Americans. What matter the color, the time, the tongue, the place he came from? The American is never an alien or a stranger to this earth. For America is a dream of millions, a dream of peace, of bread, of love, that all men are brothers. A dream of work to do and things to build, of a house with lawns enclosing it, children playing at a door, of long days to grow and think. No bomb has been made big enough to destroy this dream. No knife sharp enough to cut it. No prison big enough to hold it. No tyranny great enough to crush it. O tyrant, O stranger in my house, I will say this. It is only the oppressors who are aliens. Only the small evil men, crying hate and battening on their brothers of blood. These, only these are alien, American.
Well, my brother's written one good poem, but, well, I don't think I've written, I can even say that much. There's two poems on this first sheet. One was written by Hobo, who's known by a friend of my father's, who knocked around the country during the 30s, during the Depression, and they found this man in his middle 30s who's very, very downcast, dejected. He couldn't find work. He was partly crippled. He had nothing in all the world. And he had given this man this poem. By chains of poverty, my life is bound. A superstition must obscure my brain. The curse of toil, the never-ending strain, oppresses me to the ground. Made in the mold divine, yet I was born an outcast and profaned, doomed to the level of a soulless hound. And when this mortal clay has tottered to its grave, then will you find my soul, where Satan holds eternal sway. Well, the second is my own. 25 years, and the man was young. His feet suffered on frozen soil. A 50-pound pack sat high on his shoulders. A 10-pound axe swung in his hands. And children lived, and railroads ran, and cities grew on the great raw power of his strong hands. And now he lies in the dank jail of the city he built.
After the poet speaks, I speak. It's drunk and dining of the people. Gay friend, fear will not displace our home, nor drunk and dining change our bones. In the child's tender hand, the table stand. It's drunk and dining of the people. Oh, friends, stop the fascist bombings now. Atomic horror stalks the land. Government wastes atomic power in fertile soil. Strontium 90 of the people. My friend, they tax too high the hour of labor. As they rationalize our voices too, they fill the air with death explosions and panic war. Strontium 90 of the people. But, friend, we will not rest anymore. For the atoms are restored to the people of our land. I have another one by Pete Nerman here. I like it. It was his answer to Strontium 92. Death our heritage. We, the unborn, will we be murdered by madmen thirsting for the neighbor's blood? By cowards cringing behind their lies? By the white rain falling, filled with death on the ground, will we be drowned? Will our bones be stunted by an alien element? Will we struggle to live by this? Will this be the heritage given to us, the unborn?
Discouraged. But indeed has become a requirement for any entertainer who seeks gainful employment in show business these days. As a matter of fact, he's quite often asked, what's your gimmick? And if he's smart, and if he wants work, he'll rarely admit to be a tenor, much less an opera tenor. Instead, he's an entertainer whose gimmick is opera. The time has long since passed when a singer needs only to sing, an actor only to act, and a dancer only to dance. Now he has to do all three, no matter what the result. And here then is Will Brahms in an original sketch called A Tenor's Eye View of Opera.
To sing in opera, that is my pleasure. Tonight for you I'll sing many a measure. A tenor's part is hard, uphill and shady, plenty of obstacles to win the lady. Ivora, Ivora, let us go aside. I win her, no, I must die. No, I must die.
Why, Sinatra, Bing, make Dawn swing. And Johnny Ray can cry. You go to a million auditions a week. They look at you like you're a freak. They tell you, forget the opera. Save your soul. If you want to eat, give us rock and roll. Suppose they do give you a try. You're even a mild sensation. You work 20 weeks and you qualify for unemployment compensation. To learn a role in foreign words, they say, strictly for the opera birds. But when those birds applaud and shout, you'll see what I'm talking about. Why, when my high C flies out from me and my soprano's swooning, the music booms and love consumes. Can you say that for crooning? See, there's Faust. With intentions vile, he serenades Marguerite, grand opera style. Correct.
Poi che quello Bite a man if they kill me dead. That's as long as the opposite. drink my tea to a bed for my skin and I'm not going to drink. So if I'm a bite, I'm on the result is bad. My feet have too much hair and they lay so hard. Hold on, gonna bite them young yet in spite of like a hot dog or a hamburger. If you're very skinny, don't be in a fright. Only nice, pretty woman be a woman. Let me hear you last time.
Thank you. Thank you. Her older daughter is now living in the Negev, and her son was killed 3 years ago. All that's left of him is the But you're still there. My aunt has been there since around 1920.
Well, now, you said somebody told you it was, and it's possible what they do, the bars they open.
She was there at the beginning of Quapilo.
But then,
that was only around 1938.
We can always call and find out. We've got a phone.
It's been 18 years before she was there.
Or they're open, but there's no show.
You don't want to see them.
Yes, we do.
We want to see the group of what's going on. They might know from the end of it, you know, not by name, but outside.
What did you think of it?
Well, the point is, if they do go over, we'd like to know where to go, because the point is, we're going to look at a town, like a that town looked like the same old town, you know.
Well, they play the same night.
No, I meant to...
Well, you could get a ride from here, sir. Relax, it's safe to say I'm on my way. I would be better for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around.
Thank you. Thank you. Make her happy and keep her true. She she says, the one thing I want from you, it's a little piece of the big bamboo. The big bamboo, it grows always long. The big bamboo, it grows always strong. The big bamboo.
All you do is I'm